Pastor Phil, I know he greeted the guests, but if you're a guest of ours, it's an honor to have you here tonight and worshiping with us. And hopefully when you leave, you will have felt something from the Lord. Maybe you came in looking for direction and God give you direction. So you could be seated this evening. We are in a series. We're talking about discovering, delighting, developing, and deploying your spiritual gifts. And I started this off a few weeks ago, and we started on Sunday morning on lesson four, and I didn't get quite about a third of the way through. And so the lesson tonight, we're in the we talked about discovering, we talk about delighting in. So we're going to be talking about continuing on developing. And I believe that the body of Christ has, just as we've been reading through various passages from Corinthians, Ephesians, and Romans, that God has gifted us with gifts. The Bible terms them, or Paul wrote, call them spiritual gifts. We talked about some, we've talked about a lot of what those gifts are, what the gifts aren't. But the lesson tonight, it's going to be a little bit different from the sense, it's to help assist this body in operating the gifts that God has ordained for his church. And this lesson is to help us. It is not to hinder. It's not to embarrass anyone. It's not to point fingers at anyone. Not causing anyone to feel shameful that, well, you have a gift and you're doing it wrong. And so God desires that we learn. God desires that we mature. And God desires that we grow in him. And sometimes it just takes a little bit of nudging from a pastor or maybe a guest speaker that comes through. But we're continuing to talk and developing your gifts. And how do we develop them? And we covered this a bit Sunday morning. We develop them by using them. Some gifts are more public than others. You can have the gift of helps, per se, and maybe with the gifts of helps you've joined and you've, Sister Lois, Sister Grant has asked you to, maybe you volunteered to cook a meal for someone that on our meal train, it's a gift of helps. Maybe you come over to church and you help working in the flowers and keeping the yard up and cleaning windows and things, gifts of helps. It doesn't really, nobody typically comes in and says, wow, somebody didn't vacuum this floor right. Because it's just not something that most of us are going to look at, and we're going to critique perhaps. But when you have a gift that's a very public gift, and when that gift is in operation and everyone's able to critique that gift, it kind of puts it in a little bit different light. So we're going to cover some of this. We talked about Paul's challenge to young Timothy in 1 Timothy verses 4, 13 through 16. So we're going to kind of pick up from there. Paul is writing to Timothy, which is a young man that is getting into the ministry. So he's just starting to get involved in this. And Paul writes a letter to him, wrote two letters actually, in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. But Paul is away, Timothy is in Ephesus, and Paul writes and says, until I come, devote yourself in the public reading of Scripture to preaching and to teaching. These are all ministries or all gifts that are very public, that people, you're sitting here tonight, you're listening to me teach. This is a public setting, and you can critique what I say right and what I don't say right. He's writing, and he's challenging him not to neglect his gift. Sometimes we can neglect our gift, which has been given to you through prophecy. So that means someone prophesied over him, And when the bodies of elders, it tells who prophesied. It was a body of elders. So it was more than just one individual that prophesied over him. So when the body of elders laid their hands on you, be diligent in these matters, Timothy. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. A lot of times we like to take our spiritual gift and we like to hide it under a bushel. We read that little story about hiding our light, our candle under a bushel, hiding our gift. We don't want people to see it. But he says, give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. In other words, Timothy, make yourself accountable to your elders. Watch your life. Watch your doctrine closely. It's important that you have character and integrity. It's important that you know what you believe and why you believe it. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. So as we use our gifts and we progress in them, no matter what our gift may be, we will see the church growing more and more toward maturity in Christ. And that's the point of all of this. That is why God gave us these gifts. That's why God's dispersed his gifts across the church body, and not everyone has every gift. So we look at this, but we understand something, that God may give us a gift, and we may be excited about that gift. We've discovered that gift. We've delighted in that gift, and now it's time to deploy that gift, and in the deploying of the gift, things start to go wrong. And we get discouraged, and we're like, I'm never going to do that again. How many of you ever said that about something in your life that went wrong, and you're like, boy, I'm never going to do that again? So this is what we're going to be talking about tonight. So not every gift goes as plans, and we're going to talk about one of the more problematic gifts that we see in a church body. And that is the gift of tongues. So the spiritual gift of tongues, it's more, I've heard it explained or described as the gift of languages. The Bible talks about the gift of tongues. Tongues really is about language. I'm up here speaking tonight, and I'm speaking in a tongue, and that tongue is the English language. It's the only language I know. I know a little bit of Spanish. Today I had tacos for lunch, so I know how to say tacos and burritos and empanadas and enchiritos. I didn't even say that one right. So I know a little bit. Most of my knowledge of the Spanish language has to do with food. And if you want to take and get better at your Spanish, then you can go to a Mexican restaurant and you can read the menu and you can learn all kinds of cool Spanish words. So we look at the gift of tongues, and the Greek word for tongues is glossalia. And it literally means tongue. So when it's used in the New Testament addressing the subject of spiritual gifts, it's carrying the contextual meaning of languages. So when we have a tongues interpretation, it's someone speaking in a different language, and then someone interprets that language. All right, so speaking in tongues is the utterance of prayer or a message that is designed to glorify and edify the body of Christ and or glorify and edify God. Okay, I want to make pauses in here. I have heard the gift of tongues come forth, and it has been misused many times. I've heard people in gift of tongues and interpretations asking for folks to chip in to help with a U-Haul rental so they can move their family. I don't really think that God is in you will know. We all know, don't we? We've been around. We have the spirit of discernment. So typically, when we have a tongues and interpretation. It's spoken in a language that is unknown to the one speaking it. I've never heard of an instance yet where someone gave a tongues and interpretation and they said, "Pastor, I knew exactly what I was saying." It's always in an unknown tongue. And to properly understand this gift, we're going to have to take and we're going to go back a little bit and we're going to give a brief history of language of the human race. You have to understand something about language. God chose language to communicate to humanity. God has always communicated to humanity through language. God speaks to people. We look back and we can go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. So you have Adam and Eve in the garden. And what did God do every day in the cool of the evening? He came into the garden and he communed with Adam and Eve. Now we know God can read our thoughts. God is invisible. So God comes in the garden. Adam and Eve, they don't know if he's in the garden. You can't tell if he's in the garden other than you maybe can feel his presence. But if God wanted to sneak up on you, he could sneak up on you. And you're only going to know he's there, Brother Ty, if he says, "Hello, Ty. This is God speaking in my best God voice." And Ty is sitting there on his rock as he tries to crack open a coconut. And when God speaks, he jumps. God always speaks through language. So God comes into the garden and he's communing with Adam and Eve and he's speaking their language. I don't know what language it was. The Bible doesn't tell us. It just said he came into the cool of the evening. Now what happened is Satan came and he's talking to Eve and he knows Eve's language too. So he tempts Eve and Adam and Eve fall into sin. And they're cursed and they're banished from the Garden of Eden along with all of their descendants. And as of this point in time, mankind is all one language. There's one language. And we go all the way up until Genesis chapter 11, where that we find humanity at the Tower of Babel in the plains of what is modern day, or close to modern day, Babylon. Thus, that's how we get Babylon, is Babel. So they're the Tower of Babel, and at the Tower of Babel, mankind had said the earth was flooded. We don't want that to happen again. We don't know that we trust God. So what we're going to do is we're going to build a tower that's going to reach up into the heavens, and if a flood ever comes again, we will have a way of escape. And they were building this big, massive Sears Roebuck tower out in the middle of the plains of Babylon. And they were intent on reaching the heavens. And God looked down and he saw what mankind was capable of doing because they could all speak the same language. Now, you want to throw a real kink into this service right now. That is, if every last one of us immediately from right now on was speaking a different language. So I'm speaking right now and you all of a sudden have no idea what I'm saying. And you're thinking. You're not thinking in English anymore. You're thinking in something else. And you turn to your wife and you say, "Something weird is just happening." And she looks at you and she responds in a different language and she doesn't know what you're talking about. That may be a good thing. Maybe it's not. I don't know. We're not going to get into that. But you look at this, and now all of a sudden, in the blink of an eye, the snap of a finger, all of humanity, the languages are all confused. So all the people that all spoke one language, for some reason, could understand each other. And they all got together in groups. And what happened is they began to just migrate. And they moved out all over the surface of the earth. Instead of living in one big, huge hub of metropolis, they're now scattering abroad. So God did this because mankind was intent. Their intention was to make a name for themselves, thus replacing God in their hearts. You see, pride is the birthplace of all sin. And regrettably, fallen man had decided to use every advantage, including language, to usurp God's authority and place himself on the throne, which is not rightfully his. So after God confused their language and scattered them across the earth, he chose one people with one language to bring glory and draw humanity back unto himself. Abram, which we read about in Genesis, later he was called Abraham, was the one through whom God promised to bless all the nations of the earth. Eventually, through the nation of Israel, the Hebrew language would be used to communicate God's word to the nations. So when Abraham talked about his God, he was speaking in a Hebrew language. However, the rest of the world did not speak nor understand this language, and thus for the most part continued to remain ignorant of God's plan of redemption. Now we're going to fast forward all the way from the old, way back in the Old Testament, way back in the BCs, and we're going to take and fast forward into the New Testament to the day of Pentecost and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Here we see a glimpse of God's reversal of the curse of divided languages. In Acts 2, people from all over the world could hear God's people proclaiming his mighty works in their languages. We read about this in chapter 2, and this is the beginning of the redemption of language for all original intended purpose, and that is to glorify God and to draw humanity back unto himself. God uses language. God uses tongue. It is powerful because humanity, we know how to talk. In heaven, we can read in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 through 12, that there are going to be innumerable number of people standing around the throne. The Bible says in Revelation, every tribe, every nation, every kindred, every people, every tongue will join together to praise God in one language. When we get to heaven, there will be no Chinese, there will be no Japanese, there will be no Spanish, no French, there will be no English. We will be speaking a heavenly language. Maybe that's Hebrew, I have no idea. The writer doesn't tell us. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8 through 10, and some people get confused and they say, well, Bible says that tongues will cease. So that means and there's no need for tongues today. This is making reference to when we're all in heaven. And yes, when we're all in heaven, in Revelation 7, tongues will cease. As in languages of all types will cease and we will speak one common language. You see, why will tongues and language cease? Because it will have served its purpose. If we're all in heaven, there's no need for a different language. There's no need for different languages. There'll be only one tongue, only one tongue. We read in Love Never Fails, where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 10, but when completeness comes, when the rapture takes place, when we're all in heaven, what is in part is going to disappear. It ceases in heaven. The intention of spiritual gift of tongues is to glorify God here and now. but also to prepare ourselves as his church to glorify him forever in heaven. The gift, however, is only partial, and that is not given to all believers. Talking about the gift of tongues. And the context of the church requires an interpreter for it to be edifying. Now, there's much more to be said about spiritual gifts of tongues, but I don't have all week long to cover this, and we're going to summarize in a few points. Not every believer receives this gift, the gift of tongues. Understand something, that the gift of tongues is not a requirement. All right? We're not all required to have the gift of tongues, as in spiritual gifts. All right? Nor is it a necessary sign of salvation. Now, speaking in tongues, as in Acts 2, is a necessary sign of salvation, but the gift of tongues, as in 1 Corinthians 12, is not a necessary sign of salvation. So if you don't have the gift of tongues, it doesn't mean you're not saved. All right? So Paul begins to cover, he said in 1 Corinthians 12, 30, do all have the gift of healings? Question mark. So he's asking the church in Corinth, he says, does everyone here have the gift of healings? Well, no. Brother John Repka does, but nobody else does that we know of. Okay, well, what about, do you all speak with tongues, as in the gift of tongues? Do you all speak? Well, no. Do you all interpret? No. He's addressing a problem that they're having. The problem that they were having was that people were showing up to church and everybody was speaking in tongues and nobody knew what was going on. If you'd have walked in here tonight and I would have started to get up here to preach and I just started preaching in a different language and you're looking at me like, what's going on here? They're singing and they're singing in tongues. They're different. So they're having a problem and Paul is addressing this. Tongues can't be human languages, such as those heard in Acts 2, but often it may be languages that no one understands. Paul states in 1 Corinthians 14, 2, he says, praying in a tongue that no one can interpret only benefits the one praying. In fact, displaying the gift of tongues without interpretation may do more harm than good. It generates confusion and division. So tongues are not a static speech, but are always orderly and are able to be controlled by the one speaking. Now you can reference 1 Corinthians 14, verse 27 and 28, verse 33 and verse 39 and verse 40. So no tongue should be spoken in a church gathering without interpretation. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 27 and 28. Sometimes we have had a tongue or tongues and no interpretation. If you're going to have a tongues, there needs to be an interpretation. And this is where those that are used in the gift of tongues have to understand something. I'm just going to get really plain here, okay? I will say this, it's a whole lot easier to give a gift of tongues than it is to interpret. I get up and give and speak in tongues, and none of you have a clue what I'm even saying. I could have read it in a comic book before I come to church. You would not, and I know this is, I'm not making light of this. Of what I'm saying is the gift of tongues is a little bit different than when you have to have the exercise, the gift of interpretation, and you have to interpret what was just said by two or three people. So those that have the gift of tongues have to understand something. I preached a series a few years ago about you got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them. You got to know when to use your gift and know when to refrain from using your gift. Timing is everything. I think sometimes we get in a habit of where we feel like if there's a pause in the service, that, oh, okay, it's my time. It's my time. And there's a tongues, and then there's no interpretation. And what ends up happening is, it is, as Paul stated here, if there's a tongue and there's no one interpreting, it just generates confusion and causes division. So if God has gifted you in these areas and you're confused and you're not for sure, just say, hey, pastor, can I talk to you? Can we have a conversation? If you have a gift of interpretation, understand something. When God says something to his church, he's got something to say. God doesn't just ramble about weather. God doesn't just ramble about, I hope you're having a good day. I hope service is going good. And God doesn't speak to himself as in, well, I love you. I am your God. Jesus loves you. You get what I'm saying? There's first, second, and third persons. God speaks, I am your God. I am your healer. I am your salvation. He doesn't say, Jesus is God, Jesus is your healer, and Jesus is your salvation. Understand how God speaks. I'm saying this to help us learn, because we can go on and we can read 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 39, where Paul instructs the church that tongues should not be forbidden. I know pastors that don't understand it and get frustrated by it, so they just say, no more. We're not doing this. Well, it shouldn't be that way. It should not be forbidden. It's a gift that just needs to be learned how to use. When to use it. That's all. How to use it, when to use it. So this gift is dealt with extensively in the scriptures, and it should not be discouraged, but it should be used properly with pure motives and intentions, and of course, under the power and the prompting of the Holy Spirit. So we can read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, verse 30, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4, and 39. Paul covers all of this. Now, we find the gift of interpretation. The spiritual gift of interpretation of tongues is found alongside the gift of speaking in tongues in 1 Corinthians 12, 10. The Greek word for interpretation simply means to interpret. So this, or expound, explain, or expound some message that's not able to be understood in a natural way. Thus, this spiritual gift is a supernatural ability to understand and explain messages uttered in an unknown language. This falls under our revelatory gifting, which we covered that on Sunday morning, means that God reveals the meaning of the words or message being spoken and allows the interpreter to communicate its meaning to those who need to hear it. Understand something in the interpretation. Interpretation, everyone here, if I gave you a paragraph to interpret, every one of us would interpret it differently. We would put the emphasis on specific words, and some of us might put a comma in, and some of us might just like blow right through the comma. So if God's speaking to you in interpretation and you're interpreting, it might be that you are very nervous and you interpret very quickly. It might be that you're a little bit hesitant. And a lot of times interpretations have a lot to do with the personality of the person that is interpreting. As I said, every one of us would interpret the same thing differently. So it's easy to get critical of sometimes when we hear people interpret that, well, that wasn't of God. He said, He stopped. He sounded confused. He Well, listen, if God was speaking to you and you were trying to speak something out and you were so nervous and you're all, in the back of your mind, you're saying, God, why me? You might just mess up from time to time. But as I said at the very beginning of our lesson, how do we develop these gifts? By using them. I'm very patient as a pastor, and I'm willing to be patient in this area. And if things get wrong or something is amiss, then we will correct that and we will move on. Why? Because we're all learning. We're all learning. God has just placed some people with the gift of tongues, some with the gift of interpretation. But see, the bottom line is when it happens, two things should happen. The church should be edified and God should be glorified. That's the bottom line. That's what needs to happen. So spiritual gift of interpretation is given by the Holy Spirit to certain individuals to reveal messages spoken in an unknown tongue to God for the building up of the church, for the edifying of the saints, like the gift of prophecy. Tongues that are interpreted have the effect of encouraging and blessing the church to love and serve God more deeply and effectively. We can read this in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 10, 30, and also in 14, verses 1 through 28. So almost all of chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, Paul covers this. Notice we see the word edify often used in these areas of giftings. Edify in the Bible simply means to build up or strengthen someone's spirituality, especially in faith, in knowledge, and in holiness. Now tonight, perhaps you've never heard or you've never been taught or heard this taught before in the scripture. And how will you know if God has gifted you in any of these areas we mentioned tonight if we never tried? Thinking about that. Think about how different it would be if some people never stepped out on that limb and said, you know what, I feel like I have the gift of interpretation, so I'm good to interpret. Sometimes we may, yes, we may get it wrong, but you know what, sometimes enough, we're going to get it right. We're going to get it with God's timing. We're not going to get it with the church service timing. It's going to be when God wants to speak. Perhaps you're new in the faith and you've never been involved in any type of a ministry. Our musicians can come. We can stand to our feet tonight. How will you ever know if your heart will overflow with joy unless you serve in a gifted capacity, if you never try? You see, you may be early in your walk with the Lord. You may have been walking for the Lord for decades. And God is seeking. God is reaching out. God is calling his church. Next Sunday, we're going to wrap this up and we're going to talk about deploying our spiritual gifts. Discovering, delighting, and developing are totally have no use and no value unless we deploy, unless we put our gift into action. So the best way to discover and develop your gifts is very simple. Just serve. That's all it takes, is serving. So discover, delight, develop, and deploy. I hope this lesson tonight has answered some questions and not opened up a whole bunch of more questions. If it has, just feel free to talk with myself or any of our pastors, any of our elders. Be happy to help you. I don't know everything there is to know. I'm learning so many things myself as I go through as we study and put together these lessons, things that I thought I knew but I didn't know. God just revealing and through the scripture. But I want to fulfill. I want to take every gift that God has given me, and I want to be able to take and make sure that they're developed and that I can utilize them for His kingdom. You know, God has no one to use but us. He has no one to develop but us. And we help develop each other. So as we end this service tonight, I just want to give you an opportunity to just have a conversation with God. You can have that conversation in your pew, or you can come down to the front. Just say, Lord, I want You to use me. As Paul instructed Timothy, don't neglect your gift. Don't neglect what God has given you. Allow other people to speak into your life to help develop your gift. Maybe you're stuck, you don't know which way to go. I just want to encourage you to come down to the altar tonight. Say, Lord, here I am. I have this gift, and I don't know how to get it out. So as Sister Kate sings for us, God bless you tonight. Let's spend a few moments in prayer.